Hello and welcome to a World Cup themed Total Football Soccer Show. I'm Taylor.
I'm Daryl.
And we're back after a 2-week hiatus to discuss the World Cup draw. Who's happy, who's mad, and why it may be time for Boston Tea Party 2.0.
We put a twist on our usual top five as Taylor and myself each assemble a hypothetical five-a-side team of World Cup banned players. Will Taylor bite the bullet and select Cristiano Ronaldo?
That's probably a negative. And instead of the usual spelling bee, we'll close with a different type of challenge. Every World Cup team has a nickname, some more well-known than others. Daryl and myself challenge each other to identify three each in a battle of wits, memory, and poor pronunciation. Okay, so last week was the World Cup draw held in South Africa, and the big news, at least for Daryl and myself, is Group C. That's USA, England, Algeria, and Slovenia.
Yep, so our teams are in the same group. Yeah. Thanks to Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, who, I guess because she's South African and famous, she got to do the draw. But I suppose that's not as important as the overall group. What are your first impressions of it, Daryl?
Actually, my impression at the time was that I think it's great that we drew USA because it's a big game mm-hmm. in this country and yep. like, everyone can get excited about it. And then Algeria and Slovenia, whatever anyone says, it is easier than it could have been.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get carried away. I've seen that a lot of English media seem to think we're going to walk through it.
Yeah, you know, like I was watching some videos from like The Guardian and there was one on The Times and it seemed like a lot of people are just kind of like, all right, so when we win this group, we're going to go through and we might play this team. It was almost like, you know, they talked about USA for like a minute, didn't give any credence to Algeria or Slovenia, and they were just kind of like, all right, so we're probably going to play whoever wins this group.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, I think actually, especially with the USA, mm-hmm. I think they're a little bit underestimated by the English media.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, but I mean, it's not like the English media are the only ones who are guilty of that. I think like a lot of Americans see England, they're really excited about that. Obviously, people know England's, you know, going to be a tough team, but then like, oh, Algeria, Slovenia, you know, I mean, that's no problem. You know, they don't realize that Algeria beat Egypt, who are, you know, a solid team. Slovenia knocked out Russia to get here. I mean, those are some big names that aren't there because of these two teams.
Oh, so you think the U.S. fans are also maybe underestimating those two?
I do. You know, it's a similar situation to World Cup 98 when USA had Iran. Everybody was like, oh, Iran, you know, we have the motivation, the political motivation. You know, we want to beat them. We want to prove we're a good team. We end up losing 2-1 because people didn't really take them seriously. I'm not saying that I really see that happening here, but I could see it happening, at least in terms of the media.
All right. Well, not to dismiss Algeria and Slovenia, mm-hmm. but I think it's fair to say that USA, England, the first game in mm-hmm. the group, June 12th, is the more interesting.
And how are you feeling about that game?
A little nervous because I do see USA being mm-hmm. extra motivated to get one over on England, and I see maybe England being a little the English players maybe underestimating mm-hmm. the US a
are
little
you
bit.
Are you at all concerned about the USA's you know, fabulous record against England in World Cups, because we are 100% winning against you all, at least in terms of World Cups. Sure, that may have been 1950 and we've only met once, but still we won.
Yeah, that's
1-0, baby.
1-0.
Whatever. History repeats itself. That's all I can say.
Okay. One thing I think, you know, the show we repeated last week mm-hmm. about the popularity of soccer in the US.
Yeah.
And how the World Cup is always a big tool for marketing soccer.
Mm-hmm.
This game is perfect.
Yeah.
For ESPN and for everyone who wants to market soccer, for you and I.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this one for ages.
Yeah.
But I guess the question I would ask you, you know, as obviously an England fan, is, you know, what are you kind of concerned about going in? Just so I can take notes and send it to U.S. coach Bob Bradley. What are you a little worried about, Daryl?
What are my concerns with the England team?
Yeah.
I think the obvious ones are goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. We're still a little unsure on who it's going to be.
Yeah.
David James always injured. Robert Green, not all that established.
How old is David James at this point? Like 56, 57?
40.
Yeah.
It's pretty old.
Yeah. His fro gives him power, though, so you're good.
Rio Ferdinand, loss of form, a few injuries. I mean, if he's not, I mean, it's still 6 months away, but if he's mm-hmm. not fit, we're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, it's definitely a tale of injuries for both of us because, you know, you have Oguchi Onyewu, who to some people is, you know, America's best player. He's out with a knee injury.
Definitely best defender.
Yeah, definitely best defender. And he'll probably be back, but, you know, anytime a soccer player, as physical as he is, suffers a knee injury, he's going to lose a little bit of confidence. Then obviously, USA has lost Charlie Davies, who was kind of our up and coming forward,
yeah,
to partner Jozy Altidore. Now it's kind of unclear as to who's going to be up there. They'll both probably be back, but to what form, not really sure.
Speaking of Jozy Altidore,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to disrespect him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it from the English perspective.
Yeah.
When you see that arguably the USA's best forward, mm-hmm. Jozy Altidore, is a reserve or not a regular starter at a team like Hull City,
yeah.
I can see how someone could look at that and mm-hmm. think, well, maybe the USA aren't as good as they think they are.
For those of you not familiar, Hull City is a team in the EPL, and they are near the bottom, not doing very well. And Josie
is not doing all that well there.
Yeah, he is tweeting a lot, though. So, I mean,
yeah, that's,
you know,
counts for something, maybe.
I suppose. Yeah, and I think that that's kind of what I'm scared about, honestly, is in looking at you guys, I'm a little worried about Wayne Rooney. I don't know if our defenders can handle his speed, his, you know, his physicality.
I'll be honest, I would back Wayne Rooney against Onyewu and Jay Demerit. I think he's maybe a little bit smarter than the guys they're used to playing against.
Yeah, yeah, especially because Jay Demerit's coming out of, or coming off of an injury as well.
Yeah, didn't Jay Demerit just have eye surgery?
Yeah, I don't really know what happened, but
something to do with his cornea.
It was an
ocular
injury.
So right now the US defensive partnership has one leg missing and one eye missing between them.
Should do well. Should work. Should work. And then, you know, your midfield, obviously, you know, you got Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, Gareth Barry. That's a lot to handle, especially from a midfield that constantly gets red cards and doesn't seem to be able to keep a solid formation.
Yeah, I'd be worried about that because, mm-hmm. you know, like seeing Ricardo Clark and those sort of guys diving into tackles, getting mm-hmm. red cards at Confederations Cup. That's a worry for me if I'm a USA fan.
Yeah, and then I think the only other thing, which we kind of just touched on, at least for me, is just the idea that it's like it's England, and what if all of our emphasis goes into preparing for this England match, and it's, you know, we put it all into it because we want to win. You know, I would love to beat England, but I would much rather progress to the next round.
I think from a media perspective, and sort of like we're doing in this show, mm-hmm. it's okay to focus on the England-USA game because mm-hmm. it's big. But I think there's no way that Bob Bradley's going to be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not going to spend 6 months preparing for the England game and then just cram. You know what you do? Yeah. You ever done that? I don't know if you did this with exams, but
that's all I did with exams.
I prepared heavily for my first one and then crammed for the two that were sort of a few nights afterwards.
Yeah.
Bob Bradley won't do that, will he?
Ideally not. No. That's something Steve McLaren would do, not Bob Bradley.
Well, and that's why Steve McLaren isn't coaching England right now.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you may be a little bit confident, but I know there's got to be some Americans that you're a little bit worried about.
Absolutely. And Landon Donovan.
Yeah, really?
One. Yeah, when we've had this conversation before, I really think Landon Donovan's an excellent footballer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possibly to England's advantage if his proposed loan move to Everton that came out the last couple of days goes through.
Because of familiarity?
Yeah, because at least then he'll be someone that that they understand. And maybe, I'm not sure what the fixture list looks like, but say if Donovan plays wide right, mm-hmm. which he has done for USA, and Everton play Chelsea, then Ashley Cole will get to play against him. And you know, just English players will get a chance to have a look at him a bit more.
Yeah. I think the wings are going to be especially interesting because, you know, you're going to have, like, David Beckham's probably going to be there, and then it's kind of
a toss-up.
Yeah, but it's a toss-up as to then, like, who else is going to be out there. It could be Theo Walcott, could be any number of people, maybe Aaron Lennon.
If it goes to recent form, it's going to be either Theo Walcott or Aaron Lennon on the right, and probably Steven Gerrard on the left, interchanging with Wayne Rooney.
And
that's
how
it tends to
be. And it's possible. I mean, I don't know how likely, but it's possible that, you know, USA could line up with, you know, flanks of Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
what'll happen.
That could be a fairly interesting matchup there. You know, I don't really know. Some English fans might destroy me for that one. But, I mean, that I think is a little more even than people would like to admit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's not too far off.
Yeah.
And the other reason this is such a big game for USA as a team and for soccer in America is this England matchup is that so many US fans are very familiar with the Premier League and with the England team.
Definitely.
And so I think maybe it's like a good yardstick to measure U.S. progress against.
Mm-hmm. Especially because we played you guys, a couple summers ago and lost 2-0? Is that what it was?
Yeah, and with our sort of England B team, sort of what Kieran Richardson was playing. But it was sort of a reserve USA team as well, as I understand it. And that's the thing. This is serious. It's the World Cup. Mm-hmm. There's no excuses. I mean, this is, even with injuries, if it's a World Cup game, you've got to do the best you can do. There's no holding back.
Yeah, and you know, so for you Red Staters out there who still have trouble supporting the sport, you know, you got to realize that we're playing Algeria, a former communist country, and then our former colonial occupiers. I mean, seriously, if ever there's a time to get behind America, I mean, let's do it now.
Yeah, especially because I believe if England win that game, then USA has to rejoin the empire.
So what do we get if we win?
3 points.
I think the Queen has to bow to Obama.
Is that right?
I think that's the rule. I think that's how it works.
Actually, I believe she'd curtsy because she's a lady.
Oh, of course. My mistake. God, now I've offended the Queen. Now England's going to be really ready for this game.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl.
And Taylor.
On Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
I suppose we should mention that there is a World Cup going on outside of Group C. The big debate, I guess, has been around the group of death, or if there is a group of death.
Yeah, this has been a personal sort of thing with me where I heard everyone saying, what's the group of death? What's the group of death?
Mm-hmm.
And my argument is, if you have to ask what the group of death is,
then there is no group of death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the group of death should be something that stands out. It shouldn't be something mm-hmm. that has to be there just because you want there to be one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the ones that have been, you know, talked about, it's Group D, which is Germany, Australia, Serbia, and Ghana. And then Group G, which is Brazil, Portugal, Ivory Coast, and North Korea.
I think if you're North Korea, mm-hmm. then Group G yeah. is the group of death.
Yeah.
But I'd also say that the fact that North Korea are in there
mm-hmm.
means that it's not really the group of death. It's just a group with three very good teams in there.
Although I do believe that the last time North Korea were in a World Cup, it was 1966, and they did beat Italy. So,
yeah, they did.
I mean, you know, come on. Maybe they're capable of something. Probably not, but maybe.
So, group of death or not, Brazil-Portugal is a massive, massive game. Much like USA-England has like history, colonial history in there.
Yeah.
Brazil were occupied by Portugal
yeah.
way, way back. So that's, I mean, and they have a huge football rivalry.
Cabral, Francisco Cabral, something like that. I remember him as Crazy Cabral, but he's the one, the Portuguese man who discovered Brazil.
Ah.
Fourth grade geography up here.
By discovered, you mean colonized?
Yeah, that's you.
But and, no disrespect to the USA, uh-huh. because as I've said, I am sort of a USA fan second, but mm-hmm. Brazil-Portugal, arguably, a more even game than England-USA.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. But I do just kind of want to go back to one thing about the group of death idea. If you look at them from the world ranking standpoint, you might expect that, you know, Group G or Group D are going to be the highest ranked ones. But it's actually the group with Spain, Switzerland, Honduras, and Chile. Just because yeah. North Korea's ranking really throws it off.
Yeah, they're in the low 80s, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are 84.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's like statistically speaking, take that for what it's worth, you know, yeah. Spain's group is actually the group of death.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, I think that lends credence to your argument that maybe there isn't one.
Yeah, there doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I also say, you're talking about Group H and how even it is.
Yeah.
The whole draw is pretty even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I took the American route. I know you're against it, but I kind of tried to do it like the bracketology and figure out who is going to go through into what place. And it's really, like outside of a couple that are, you know, sort of obvious, like you expect England to go through and a couple other ones, it's really wide open. Like I'm pretty amazed by it. And, you know, going along with that, like I really think, you know, I could probably gonna end up wrong and they're probably all going to make it to the knockout round. But I could see, you know, a couple of the big boys, you know, especially France, Italy, and Argentina, I could see them falling early.
Who have Italy got? Paraguay, New Zealand, South Africa, Slovakia.
Yeah. Well, early meaning, you know, knockout round, quarterfinals, something like that.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. what you mean. Well, someone's got to.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It's worth looking at, I think, South Africa as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, they're the hosts. And the big thing is that as the host, you get seeded,
mm-hmm.
even if you're bad, like right. South Africa are.
Yeah.
And so you should, being seeded, you should get an easy group.
Mm-hmm.
But they've ended up with Mexico, Uruguay, and France.
Yeah, which...
It's pretty tough.
Which, to like the uninitiated, may actually not sound that bad, but it's actually pretty tough.
I mean, it's very tough.
Mexico's great. France is obviously good. Uruguay has European Golden Boot winner Diego Forlan. I mean, there's a lot to be afraid of there.
Yeah, and that's a former World Cup winning nation.
Yeah, and also there is the notion that... Not even the notion, the fact that every host nation has managed to progress to the next round. South Africa might be the first country to really fall short there.
I think Japan failed to progress in 2002, but South Korea did.
Yeah.
This could still be the first World Cup where there's no host nation in the second round.
Fair enough. Perhaps that's a better way of saying it.
Or it might not be. I mean, South Africa could surprise us all and go through.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had this conversation earlier, and I believe you pointed out that they progressed in the Confederations Cup, and then noticed that their group was Spain, Iraq, and New Zealand, and,
yeah.
you know. So we'll see. You never know. Mexico could struggle. France could not show up. Who knows? But who else do you think is pretty happy with their draw or is pretty upset with their draw?
I think you could make the argument that the African nations could be a little bit upset.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at, say, Nigeria are in Group B with Argentina, South Korea, Greece. That's mm-hmm. not easy. We talked about Ghana in Group D. They've got Germany, Australia, mm-hmm. Serbia. Who else we got? Algeria in Group C. That's not great for them.
Nope.
Cameroon.
Yeah, Japan, Denmark, Netherlands.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, mm-mm. none of them have a pretty draw. And who's the other one? So Cote d'Ivoire have Brazil, Portugal, and North Korea.
I talked to my buddy who's Ghanaian, and actually another reason why Ghana isn't too pleased is that they're in a group of Serbia, as we mentioned, and their coach is actually Serbian.
Do you want to pronounce that coach's name for us?
Milovan Rajevac, maybe? I don't know. He played for Red Star Belgrade. He managed four different Serbian teams, and now some Ghanaians are worried that, you know, his national pride could... play a role in the outcome of that game.
I hope that doesn't happen. I wouldn't expect that to happen.
I would not expect that to happen either if he cares about his career.
But I can understand why you'd be a little concerned if you're a Ghana fan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the World Cup, it brings out the competition.
The big thing for me with the draw is the fact that it's happened.
Yeah.
It means the countdown has begun.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's time to start building the hype, getting excited.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, what, 6 months away?
About that.
Yeah, so...
So I feel like we're probably going to mention this once or twice before the World Cup actually comes.
Oh, yeah, many, many times. Especially that England-USA game. Mark your calendars now for June 12th.
And if you have any suggestions as to what Daryl and I should be betting, then you should email those ideas to us at soccer@wrir.org.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
Okay, so it's top five time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to mix it up a little bit this week.
Right.
All right, so we were going to do our top five favourite players that will be at the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we've decided to choose a five-a-side team each.
Right.
And so it's as if we're coaching this team of World Cup players
right.
against each other.
Yeah, and that's important for me because obviously, you know, like Cristiano Ronaldo deserves some mention, but there's no way I would ever coach him.
Okay.
Which I'm sure he's really upset about, but that's why Cristiano Ronaldo will not feature on my list. And if he features on yours, there could be problems.
All right, we'll see what happens. Couple of ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go, so it's five aside,
right?
Which is obviously a small court, small goals.
Mm-hmm.
Formation is a keeper, mm-hmm. a defender, two midfielders, one forward.
Yep.
Okay, and it's going to be almost like a draft. We'll go back and forth between us.
Deal.
Okay, so
all right,
we'll
so
start with Taylor's goalkeeper.
I will start it off. So obviously you want a goalkeeper that's, you know, good with his feet, but also quick with his hands.
Agreed.
So my first thought, I know it's a little crazy, was Vincent Enyama from Nigeria, because he scored 14 goals as a goalkeeper. It's not bad.
Okay.
But, you know, you got to go with, I think, the big name here, the big guy, the big body, and it's Julio Cesar of Brazil.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah, he's an amazing keeper. He's got amazing reactions, and he always just looks huge. And I think that if you're, you know, have a little tiny goal with a giant guy in front of it, you know, it's going to be harder to score. It's going to be in your head.
See, I went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
My two options, the two I thought about, were Gigi mm-hmm. Buffon and Iker Casillas.
Mm-hmm. Not bad choices.
Yeah, obviously great keepers. Mm-hmm. And I know Buffon's got excellent reflexes and a top keeper.
Right.
I feel like he's very tall. And I feel like he'd have trouble, not trouble, but
yeah,
the getting down low mm-hmm. five aside. So for that reason, I went with Casillas, the Spain keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like I've seen him make saves with his feet a lot more and that's more mm-hmm. suitable for five aside.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is all hypothetical yeah. and I don't want anyone to email in and say, oh, have you not think Buffon's good? But yeah, so I'm going Casillas in goal.
Okay. Well, then moving on to defense, I cheated a little bit here because... My guy isn't, you know, technically a defender. He's
okay.
He's actually like a central defensive mid. It's Michael Essien from Ghana.
Okay.
Yeah.
I nearly did the same thing
yeah,
myself. Yeah. I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah. Well, see, Avram Grant tried it when he was coach of Chelsea, and it yeah. didn't work out that great. But, you know, I'm coaching this time. It's going to be different. but, you know, Essien, he's a great player. He's kind of what you want, that defender. You can see the whole field, and he's going to win balls, and he's going to play physical. So he's my defender.
Oh, that's a great choice.
Thank you.
I didn't go that way because, as a defender myself, I wanted to go with even though it's five-a-side, mm-hmm. I wanted a big, big, brutish defender.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy I want also to captain my team is Lucio from Brazil.
Ooh, your captain too?
Yeah. He's wearing the armband.
All right, fair enough.
The fact that he doesn't speak English and I don't speak Portuguese, I'm going to pretend it's not a problem.
Oh, I don't see how it
We're
would
We're going to
be.
Develop an intricate sign language.
Yeah, I think language barriers went out the window.
The international language of pointing.
There. Wow, that's well said, Daryl. Well
all right,
said.
So far we've got Taylor's got...
Julio Cesar and Michael Essien.
Okay, and so far I've got Casillas and Lucio.
Right, so now we move on to my midfield. My first thought was that I wanted, you know,
Let's
two players.
Let's go one at a time, one midfielder at a time.
Okay, fine. Well, my first thought was that I wanted two midfielders that could play together. So the obvious choice there was Xavi and Iniesta. They both play for Barcelona. They'll both be there with Spain. It's a good choice, but I went a little different.
I'm relieved.
What's that?
I'm relieved.
Okay, fair enough. I went a little different. I think for five-a-side, it's going to be all-out attacking for me.
Okay.
It's going to be physical and all-out attacking. So my first winger or midfielder is going to be Wayne Rooney. He's going to run everywhere. He's going to play physical. He's going to hit whoever he can. And I think there's a possibility that I could trick him into thinking that he was playing for both England and Manchester United at the same time.
How are you going to do that?
And it's Rooney. Come
Jedi
on.
Mind trick.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, make him think he's playing for both of those. There's no way you're stopping him.
Oh, that's an interesting managerial approach.
Yeah.
My first midfielder, I have gone Xavi Hernandez.
Nice.
I understand the concept of going all out attack, but I think mm-hmm. you still need a guy to pull the strings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's the man to do it.
All right.
So Spain's Xavi Hernandez is my first midfielder.
All right. Well, Argentina's Leo Messi is my other midfielder.
Wow.
I think that's, you know, just kind of goes without saying. Messi is, at this point, he's a Ballon d'Or. He's the best player on earth. And I think, you know, little guy playing five-a-side, you can't keep up with him. He's too quick.
I see your midfield now as like almost two forwards, uh-huh. Rooney and Messi.
That's, well, see, exactly. You see it as two forwards because that's what you're going to see. You're going to see them attacking you every time. Can't get the ball out of your own end, Daryl.
Okay, well, maybe to combat that then and to annoy you,
uh-huh.
My second midfielder is...
Don't you dare.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
How could you? The England-USA is one thing. So select Cristiano Ronaldo. I'm not sure we're friends anymore, frankly.
I very nearly didn't, because I know we both probably wouldn't get along with him. Mm-hmm. But my feeling is, when you look at five-a-side, you want people who can dribble, people who can shoot. I mean, there's no one better. So, yeah, Ronaldo.
I'm boycotting the rest of this program. I hope you understand that. See, now, my problem here is that I think it's a good pick. Because I would criticize you for picking, you know, he's going to be a sulker if he doesn't get the ball. If it's not right to his foot, he's going to, you know, throw his head up and not play defense. And so I was going to criticize you for that, except that my forward is Didier Drogba. So I can't really make that argument anymore. And admittedly, Didier Drogba seems like the kind of player that if I were to play with, I would hate. You know, he seems like he kind of cries a lot. He seems a little bit lazy at times, but he's also huge and can score goals. And it's pretty fast. And, you know, I just think Drogba, he's kind of what you want in five-a-side. He's going to be able to hold that ball up, turn quickly, fire it on goal. And so, sorry, Iker, no chance for you.
All right, let's recap your team then.
Okay. So I've got Julio Cesar on goal.
Yep.
Michael Essien on defense.
Yep.
Wayne Rooney and Leo Messi are my midfielders.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Didier Drogba up top.
All right.
Yeah, contend with that, my friend.
I would contend by going Fernando Torres up front.
Yeah, that's a logical pick there.
I think
there.
He's fantastic for a five-a-side because he's fast. He's very, very dependable, clinical, finishing.
Mm-hmm.
He's also, even though he looks kind of frail, he's actually very strong, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my team then is Iker Casillas, Lucio doing the bruising at the back, captaining despite our language barrier.
Yeah.
Xavi Hernandez pulling the strings in midfield, Ronaldo dribbling and shooting from midfield, and Torres as the finisher.
I should note that my captain is going to be Michael Essien.
Okay, yeah, that's a good choice.
You got to respect him.
Oh, one extra argument from Ronaldo in my team.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks English. Mm-hmm. I speak English. Ronaldo speaks Portuguese. Lucio speaks Portuguese.
Oh,
so I'm going to have Ronaldo as my translator.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, sort of win him over, make him feel integral to the team.
Yeah, well, my bet would be that every player on my team speaks English.
Really?
I'd say so.
You'd say so.
Well, definitely three of them do.
Okay, who? Let's go through it.
Well, Rooney, obviously.
Yeah.
Essien does. Drogba does. So then it comes down to Julio Cesar and Leo Messi. I got to think Messi speaks at least some English because, you know, you're a player that big. You got to speak a little bit.
All right.
And then Julio Cesar. Well, you know, again, pointing. But you don't need to coach a goalkeeper. He knows what he's doing. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, we can point to the back of the net after Torres puts it in there.
Do you want to fight me? Is that what's happening
all
right now?
We could argue this all night, but we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, so...
Who got left out?
Okay, for me, well, I mentioned my two midfielders. My forward, I wanted to put him in. Obviously, he'd get crushed, I think, if you're putting him in here, but it's Jozy Altidore for the reasons that we mentioned. He's a big guy. You know, you saw when he played against Spain that he can do the quick turn and go to goal.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has the touch yet. But it could be a good learning experience for him, a good hypothetical learning experience for him.
Playing your fake five-a-side team.
You know, you never know. I mean, it's more than he's doing for Hull. So. And then the other one, this is my dark horse candidate for the World Cup. It's Serbian winger Miloš Krasić. Not a lot of people know him yet, but I think people will at the end of this World Cup. He's a speedy winger. He's physical. He can score goals. So he almost made it, but not quite.
All right, my guys who almost made it are some more traditional big names. Iniesta didn't make it.
Yeah.
Just because I wanted to have Ronaldo and annoy you.
Yeah.
Gerrard, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt like maybe he runs around too much.
Did you pick no English players? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. To be a patriot. Of course, I picked no Americans, so.
And Kaká.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I almost went with him, but he plays for Real Madrid. I have problems with it, so. But that's our five-a-side team, our hypothetical ideal five-a-side team.
World Cup five-a-side team.
Thank you. So if you've got your own, feel free to email to us to soccer@wrir.org.
Or leave a comment on our blog at podcast.theoffside.com.
And make sure Ronaldo isn't included.
You're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show with Daryl
and Taylor on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us.
All right, so it's spelling bee time.
Mm-hmm.
But just like we mixed it up a little with the top five,
right?
We're going to freshen it up with the spelling bee by not spelling anything.
not quite still, a spelling bee,
but
this
still
week.
A quiz type situation. Mm-hmm. All right, what we're going to do is World Cup team nicknames.
Yeah, right. Pretty much every national team, actually every national team in this World Cup has some kind of nickname. So, yeah. For example, the USA, you'd call them the Yanks.
England are the, say, Three Lions, usually. So every team has a nickname.
Right.
Taylor and myself are going to challenge each other to recognize three nicknames each.
Mm-hmm.
With a point available for each one.
Right. Now the score is 6-4 in favor of Daryl, but
yeah,
hopefully I'll keep it level, if not pull ahead, but keep it level, hopefully.
We'll see. Yeah. I think we both should get all of these right.
See, don't say that to me, because now when I miss one, I'm going to feel like an idiot. All right, oh well.
My first one, the pirate ship.
That would be Greece.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's been their nickname since 2004. They got that nickname during Euro 2004.
Cool. All right, Daryl, so my first one for you is Los Catrachos. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it Brazil?
It is not. Oh. It is Honduras. Catrachos literally means the Hondurans, but it's one of their nicknames, so I'm going to go with it. You can look it up.
Where did you find this?
That would be the end-all, be-all of information, Wikipedia.
Okay, my next one for you.
Okay.
The Nazi.
See, I read about this one as well, and I couldn't believe it. I believe that's Switzerland, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
And that's due to pronunciation, is that right?
Yeah, it's spelled Natty, N-A-T-I, and it's short for National Team. Mm-hmm. But they shorten it to Nazi.
All right, so 2-1 right, or no, 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
I don't mind losing that, because I thought it was funny.
Okay. My next one is, I'll give you both, I'll be fair, is Zmajewski. Zmajewski or the Dragons?
Who is it? Slovenia.
It is Slovenia.
Yes.
Well done. Yeah, and that's because the capital city is Ljubljana. I hope I got that one right. I kind of tripped over it. But their crest is a dragon on top of a castle. And it's interesting because their crest is also predominantly green, and that's why they wear green instead of their actual national colors.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah. All right, so 2-1 now. Okay,
yeah.
Last one.
Okay. From my little list I've got here, I'm going to give you La Celeste.
That is Argentina?
Oh, I'm afraid that's incorrect.
Oh, it's Uruguay. Yeah. It's Uruguay.
It's Uruguay for sky blue, and Albi Celeste is Argentina for white and blue.
Oh, what have I done?
So you've lost.
I answered too quickly. Okay, well, so now I'm disappointed. All right, Daryl. So for you to even it up, I would like you to tell me who are the Albiroja.
Oh, okay. If Albi Celeste is white and blue, Roja is red, Albi Roja, white and red, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Spanish language skills. Paraguay?
That is correct. Oh. Wow. Wow, from the depths he comes back.
So 2-2 there?
Yeah, 2-2 there.
So we add that to the normal scores to make it...
So it's now 8-6.
8-6, okay.
All right, so kept it level,
I hope we've all learned a little something here.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have.
All right, and if you have any other top five suggestions, be they spelling or otherwise, then feel free to send them to us at soccer@wrar.org.
Yeah, because we're running out of ideas.
Nice. Okay, so that does it for us this week. But before we go, we wanted to take a moment to quickly congratulate some friends of ours.
Yeah, a big well done to Metro Sting and Richmond City FC, who won the Premier and First Division titles here in the CVSA. Well done to those guys.
Yeah, so congratulations to them and to anyone else who may have won an amateur soccer title this season.